Cool. Those were my little tips to turn that frown upside down with Jakub's help. But I can't stress enough, like, yeah, get those ad placements in on live ops. It's a big game changer.
Yeah, you're missing out definitely if you're not doing it and if you have already ad placements in the main game.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we go to the radar then?
Oh, yes.
We shall.
Last time we did it was a pretty long time ago, actually.
This is no bullshit gaming podcast, 2.5 gamers. Sharing actionable insights, dropping knowledge from our day-to-day user acquisition, game design, and ad monetization jobs. We are definitely not discussing the latest industry news, but having so much fun. Let's not forget this is a 4 a.m. conference discussion vibe, so let's not take it too seriously.
Oh my god. Thank you, Jakub, for spoiling everything. Welcome, everybody. The session number 95. This is a very special episode. But before we dive into it, my name is Matija Lanceric.
I'm Felix Broberg.
And I'm Jakub Remjar.
And we are your hosts. And we also help companies to grow on the UA, ad monetization, and game design side. So, you know, you can always give us a call. You are already doing it from time to time. Sometimes you need another person to make an intro, but don't be shy. We don't bite, usually. We'll see.
Or join the Slack channel.
Don't try to charm the listeners, Matija. I'm looking at the docket right now, and in our script, you are under your topic. You have the most, like, Cosmopolitan Girl magazine title. And, like, I remember back to the Deconstructor of Fun Talk in Istanbul when you're walking around with a big, like, Burberry scarf. Like, you're such a little. So Matija's topic that he's written down is 3 life-changing UA tips from 2023. And yes. Then his second topic is how to lose 13 kilos in 13 weeks.
Yeah, but... Yes, thank you very much. That's what I'm going to talk about
today. Oh, man, you're going first, man. Like, need to hear this.
Yeah, well, we can do that there in that way. But there's, like, very more important question because I mentioned this is a very special episode. Do you know why, Mr. You have the most cosmopolitan headline? tell me.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't
know. Episode 94?
It's 95.
How is it?
Yes,
I'm the sentimental one.
Yeah, I can see that. So Jakub knows. Because he actually pays attention. I was actually wrong a little bit because I thought like we posted the first episode on January 16, but it was January 14. So this is our second anniversary episode, my friend.
No. Our YouTube account was created on February 13th.
Yes, because we started...
Because we didn't use
uploading
YouTube from the start.
Yes, we didn't do it from the start, and which I still didn't upload the first episode to this day.
That makes me so sad. I always thought we started it on my birthday, and I thought that was really nice. And now
but that's the YouTube. We're 1 month before that. So, yes, this is actually the second anniversary. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. And that's it for today. Thank you. Cheers.
What about your 13 kilos in 13 weeks? Sorry.
Yeah, that's going to be on, like, I think that's going to be main topic for episode 100.
Okay.
that's the magic number. Okay, so I'm going to talk about these, like, UA tips from 2023. I'm also going to ask you guys about a few things as well. But before we go into this... interesting topic, which is where we call it bring your own shit, but I'm gonna call it boys because it's easier. It's easier. Okay, so I'm gonna talk about these tips. You are gonna talk about some admon interesting stuff.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, basically everything is dying right now. It's looking doubly bad. So I'm just giving some good housekeeping tips on making it look less bad, but it's still going to be pretty bad.
Okay, so less zombie mode.
Yeah.
Some sweet doom porn.
I mean, I can't stress enough how bad it's looking right now. It's pretty not great.
It's shit show on the UA side as well. Like there was basically no Q5.
Yeah, there was no queue. I mean, there was a Q5 for Admon, but it was exactly the same as last year, and it was
one day on Black Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, amazing.
People have no money.
It's not that bad, but it's, I mean...
Jakob has to reuse his Christmas tree after Christmas for heat.
No, it's a fake background. You don't remember?
It's a fake background.
You see, there's like, you know, nothing is moving on that tree. How do you do that with a fake background? That's amazing. Oh, these AI tools these days. Oh my God. It's amazing.
Watch it on YouTube.
Okay, we're doing heavy on the bullshit now. So it's just...
Oh, come on. Like,
what are you talking about, Remo?
Yeah, we have the third version of Review Radar, our fancy kind of a review thing where we look at the shit that we reviewed before and try to keep up with it because we keep it on our radar.
Okay, very cool. So,
OMG, Maciej girlfriend, what do you have for us this week?
No. So, who was the second best UA manager on the podcast last year? I think it was Jakub most of the time. Yeah, most of the time. So that is the question. Like, what do you remember from 2023 that stuck with you the most, which was quite maybe surprising? Or it's like, oh, well, this seems like a very good hack. Anything that comes into your mind, Jakub, that I was talking about is like, okay, this
UA
is just...
UA-wise?
Yeah, UA-wise, yeah. It's very Felix. I'm gonna ask you the same question. So you have a head start. You think,
think real that. Life hooks on creatives?
Good. Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah, I think so. Felix.
AdRose campaigns on Uplabin.
Ah, nice. It was mostly Google AdRose that I was talking about, but Uplabin was one of the that's one of the best ones. But then on Uplabin, it was mostly about the hybrid ROAS or blended ROAS campaigns.
Blended.
Nice. Okay, you were actually paying attention. So regarding the creatives, I was...
Wait, what is your topic, Maciej? What is your topic?
It's free UA life-changing tips from the 2023, at least for me, to be honest. And we can
you go, girlfriend.
Yeah, I go. Yeah, thank you very much. So honestly, I was having like a lot of these different discussions about creatives, how to iterate creatives and like where to get inspiration, basically. So honestly, where to get the inspiration, which is always the hard question, maybe even like the hardest one. So I did dig a little bit deeper into like where to actually get the inspiration from. So obviously, competitors. Well, no shit, Sherlock. We also talked about this like super fast creative research, which is copy your competitors one to one. Don't invent the wheel. Put all of them like their top three or five creatives into your concept ideation and just go with it. Just no bullshit around like iterating or like, yeah, don't invent the wheel. Just use whatever works the best for a competitor and start there. And actually, Tom Hammond also kind of posted about it on LinkedIn. I was like, hey, man, like, thank you very much for reading this tip in my newsletter and posting it on LinkedIn. And he was like, well, I actually read it in a book. I was like, okay. That's very good. It's very good to hear. But okay, let's go back to the creative inspiration. So we have the competition. Then we have a non-direct competition, which can be, you know, I mean, obviously, there are so many overlaps between different genres these days. But go
fake
to...
gameplay.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's not as easy to kind of like spot different genres. But yeah, fake gameplay. So yeah, you just look outside of your genre to get some inspiration. There is like overlap between match free merge, it should be shooter versus strategy, and even like simulation and idle. That's what I've been seeing quite a lot lately. And like idle mechanics working quite well in simulation, which then comes down back to
Golden Goblins
and Township and all of the other farming games as well. So that's very important. Then we have obviously the hyper-casual mechanics. We talked about it a million times before, but we see it in Top War. We see it almost everywhere. Everyone is using it, the same thing in other games as well. And then we have YouTube and TikTok trends. So, Jakub, again, question for you. Do you remember which game we talked about at the yacht party in Busan that Haven from Century Games mentioned that it's like top in US? Neil wrote about it in his article. It was the coloring book.
Oh, that one.
We topped the chart. And I was digging into that, like, why the fuck, like, suddenly out of nowhere, there's like top one game in the US, a coloring book? Well, a meme on TikTok. That was a simple meme or trend on TikTok, which lasted for a week or so. And it shoot the game right on the top, in top spot.
Yeah. Similar so, case with Save the Dog thing in
Save the Dog
Hero.
And Dumb Ways to Die. Dumb Ways to Die as well. As soon as they started doing their like interesting organic social media strategy and executing it, they were at the time top one, two, or three without like any in US in downloads, without any paid UA budget. I mean, obviously you need to pay your team, but you save a lot of money to actually get to top one in the US. A lot of money. So that's it. And yeah.
So, can I ask a creative question?
Yes.
So remember in 2022, when we started this, that your thing that you raged on was ASMR slicing, and that was the best thing. What was the best ASMR slicing? What was the ASMR slicing of 2023?
I was just about to say, like, there is this trend. There was this trend on YouTube, ASMR eating.
Oh my God. God.
I was just about to say, man, honestly...
Stop.
This, it was mainly dancing and AI. You know what was like ASMR slicing on in 2023? US presidents playing Minecraft. Do you remember that? It was absolutely amazing. And you could use these things in creatives. I used it for one game on TikTok. It was around like elections, and it was kind of problematic, so I got banned. But you know, like that's the part of the experimentation, I guess. So yeah, but that's like also the like memes and hype kind of AI shit inspiration, where you can just go super crazy.
Can't wait for this year's American elections creatives.
Oh yeah, I can, you know. We already kind of see the use of AI in Slovakia about like with politics, so it's interesting. But also, our former colleague also used AI for dubbing Harry Potter into like weird East Slovakia shit, which was quite popular here. But it's another story. Anyway, so that was that. Then we can talk about the fake ads a little bit if we want, because now I think it's a whole new level of fake ads running around. And I mean, we can't touch the Frozen City Whiteout Survival again, but I think the most important part on the UA side was to actually think about the mini games or the altered gameplay or whatever you have in the UA and put it inside the game from the get-go and create like a Fiona's Farm
example. The illusion.
That we kind of talked about a few times. You have multiple games in one game, and that kind of opens up a lot of new possibilities on the UA and creative side. So you are actually using whatever mini game or hyper casual kind of mechanics you have in the game. It's just it's not the main, let's say, storyline. Because there now, for example, there is this Dream Detective merge game, which was published by Century Games, our friends. And they have immediately from the start bombarding me with the mini game, which is a tap away, take away type of mini game. There are a few hyper casual studios that already kind of like launched this game, and it's doing so well. So they just put it in. So this is quite an evolution in terms of the fake ads. It's not only about duct taping everything on top of everything. And then I would say the creative winners, an iteration on creatives. I'm getting this question a lot. So finding a creative winner is obviously not easy. I mean, I think it's easy in UA anymore. But how you should iterate on a winner. So in ideal world, you understand why your creative resonates with your target audience. You can then dissect the parts that work well and those that don't. and try obviously replace those with something that is a little bit closer to your target audience. This is ideal world. Sometimes absolutely weird shit works the best and you have no idea why. You have no fucking idea.
You're telling
idea
me that
why.
People know why exploding so, toilets work?
And, I think Jakub froze, which is yeah. nice. I see that smile on his face. Okay, now he's back.
There you go.
Oh, jeez. You froze with like amazing look. I mean, anyway, so what can you do? Iterate on the first 3 seconds, change the hook, like Jakub mentioned, real life people in the hook, amazing. But that's just like a.
It sounds like the best tip, though, is taking the best, most successful UA creatives and making them into your Fatui, whatever is like
yeah, 100%.
The daily lowest CPI that, and then running
yeah,
like,
it's
yeah.
just not that easy to do.
Need to code another game.
Yeah, and also you need to. Well, that's the game design part that you need to think about, like how to motivate players to actually play those mini games. You know, because obviously if you are showing those in the creatives, then you want to motivate them, or you want players to actually play them, so they're not kind of you know. Misled because of you know you have it in the game but
misled
oh, yeah yeah. yeah of course it's misleading creatives. That's what that's all about anyway so yeah just a few more tips for iterations. Take your kind of the winner and then add the real life footage there in the hook, or slap an influencer on top of your winner creative UGC for the win, or you know, doesn't need to be real person. It can be an AI that works quite well still, and it's gonna work quite well in this year as well. And it you can have multiple new creative concepts out of one creative just using different people. Then we have different elements: hand emojis, sounds in videos. You can use trending TikTok music and adding it to your winner creative. You can also use TikTok editor to put like different filters, different emojis there as well, captions, whatever else, and obviously cut it into pieces and create like 2, 3, 4 short creatives out of your 30 second cinematic trailers. So that's that. Happy iterating, happy new year. And yeah, I'm just shut up now. So it's mostly about creatives. It was mostly about creatives because that's the most important part in the UA.
Maybe you can leave a couple of creatives in the show notes.
No.
Nope.
I can, yeah, I can.
But isn't it these days but not only about the creatives, but creatives with the mini games in the game themselves?
Yeah, it's a combination of creatives and then the flow of users and then like the onboarding of the whole game, basically.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can't say like, oh, well, you know, we brought the players in and now it's your job game to retain.
What I'm trying to say is just like having killer creatives isn't enough these
it's
days.
It's not enough. Yeah, it's not enough.
You need to connect it with the product. And by product, it means like actual gameplay.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because then like the expectation flow, it's perfect.
It's broken. Yeah,
yeah,
broken
if,
in the middle.
Yeah, if it's not, yeah, if you see something in the creative, it's not in the story, it's not in the game. Then you just write Reddit comments about, oh, where can I see the levels I saw in the Hero Wars creative? Well, my friend, it's not coming. It's not coming anymore. So, yeah, that's that. And then there's also this announcement about the TikTok panel discussion I'm moderating on Monday on PGC, which is actually exactly where you're trying to hear this, because we're publishing this on Monday and we're going to be at PGC. Most probably moderating the panel with Sam from Lesmore, he's the co-founder, and then Dmitry from Space Ape Games. And we're going to talk about the TikTok launch strategies for new titles. We're going to talk about Chrome Valley and then We Are Warriors. So it's not going to be Adventure, but We Are Warriors.
What time?
2:30 p.m. UK time. You should cool. You should all be there.
Why are you attending Games from Barcelona 2024?
Share insights and knowledge.
Have all gaming experts in one place.
Networking, great lectures.
Meet new people to learn more about the industry.
Games Forum is one of the best places to get mobile marketing insights.
See all the conferences and panels.
Staying up to date with the markets.
I'm gonna meet their amazing people, the experts in their fields.
Insights and networking.
Register now and join 500 UA products and Apple managers at Games from Barcelona, February 7th and 8th.
And one more thing. We actually get a discount code for Games Forum. So everybody who is trying to get to Games Forum in Barcelona, I'll put the discount code in the show notes and use it.
You're welcome. Just tell Games Forum 2.5 Gamers sent you.
Yeah, exactly. Easy. Okay, who's next? Who is next?
I'll go next because, please. You know.
Because what?
Because you'll need more time. Oh, you can go if you want, Rima.
No, you can go. Don't worry.
So everything is looking bad on ECPM side right now. Like bad.
Bad?
Let me say that again. Like everything is looking bad. And we have like a double whammy of headwinds right now on the admon side. It's like, it's January. And that's traditionally when we have like the lowest ECPMs because all the marketeers have spent all the money in Q5, which didn't happen.
Yeah, it's not true, actually. I see still like some companies, big companies, spending serious money.
It's also kind of the fact that people assume that consumers have less money because they spent it all on like Christmas stuff. You know, like the most depressing day statistically is when credit card bills are due in January. But so that's usually what happens. So usually we have really bad ECPMs in January. So they're usually expected to be bad.
Say usually one more time, I'm going to kill myself.
But usually it's worse than normal, right? And that's because also at the same time, Google came out with those notes that we covered, or they came out with the changes that we covered before, which essentially killed GAM by saying that on the 20th of January, all the AdX demand is going to be completely cut off. That means in all the auctions where you had GAM resellers, AdMob won't, or Google Bidding or an AdMob won't be bidding against AdX inventory, which is a chunk of AdMob and Google like bidding inventory.
Yeah.
Which means that in the mediation setup, they didn't know they were bidding against themselves. That artificially inflated kind of the average ad ARPDAUs. And then also at the same time, they're going to be outlawing from the 20th of January, the use of AdMob placements and GAM placement refreshes, where essentially publishers used to make new placements, and then that used to boost kind of the algorithm. And for a day and a half, you increased revenues by a lot, which is kind of brings me to my first point. But I'm getting a lot of questions right now if you should stop AdMob and GAM refreshes. And what I'm advising everyone who's asking me is that the juice is simply not worth the squeeze. So Google has said that if they catch you, they will cut off Google demand for a week, anything from a week to 4 weeks. And in the long run, it's just not worth that risk.
Can you just replace it with something else?
There's no Google. Like, no one can replace Google. There's no, like, it's so big.
All Google or just GAM?
Google. All Google.
Okay, that sucks.
Yeah. So the enforcement dates that Google has said that they'll start with this is the 20th of January, which is a bit disingenuous because they say they have a 30-day look-back window. So actually, the real date is the 20th of December they start looking from. So
you're already
most fucked. Most people stopped on the 19th. And I heard a couple people like, yeah, we've been going the same pace. I'm like, that's brave. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, there's a 30-day look-back. And they're like, oh. So yeah. The party stopped effectively at 20th of December, and I'm speaking around to a lot of publishers and they're all feeling the pain. Like, I'm hearing numbers anywhere from 15 up to 45% like decreases on ad ARPDAU, all depending on how dependent you were on GAM refreshes. So it's pretty not looking great. We'll just have to find new ways to boost ad revenues without taking advantage of GAM and Google algorithms.
I know. It's Amazon.
What?
It's Amazon. You're always talking about Amazon.
Amazon can't save us yet because they still don't really bid a lot on interstitials and rewarded, but they can save you on banners.
Maybe, you know, the meme with like the office thing, like make better games with better ad placements.
So basically, this brings me right back to what I wanted to talk to. So like right now, everything is shit.
Now he gets thrown out of the window.
But you're not alone. So don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry. Just make better games.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, end of my segment. No. So I just wanted to share some things that I'm doing right now to make things look teeny, tiny bit better. And don't worry, Remo, on the last one, I'm going to call on you because you have the insights there to make everyone's frown turn upside down.
Are you making better games?
Yeah. Step by step. Remo, you know how to make better games, right? So the first thing I always want to tell publishers about is that if you actually have apps and not games, Meta automatically blocks you on rewarded ads because it's only for games, which is very stupid. But they keep being insistent on that mobile applications cannot have rewarded ads, period, which is weird. But if you reach out and send an email saying, hey, I have rewarded ads in my app, can you like whitelist it for me? Then they do that.
Why is it again this bullshit?
It's so dumb. And the annoying thing is now, because Meta's laid off so many people, it's so hard that unless you have like their top tier of account management, which is 5K a day in the earnings from Meta, like it's really hard to get someone to talk to you. So like,
but why is it like with all of these ad networks, like half of the functionality is hidden between you need to contact them?
Yeah.
Literally.
No, yeah. Okay. Let's think about that, Remo. Why do you think that is?
Because they're making money off it.
Yeah, exactly.
People are contacting them.
Exactly. Easy. And that's why podcasts like us like have actually like grown in popularity because no one talks about it. Like, you know, when you first log into Unity, like the dashboard, like they hide making placements, like, and then you can only make 10 placements and then you have to ask for more. Yeah. And then on Iron Source, they hide making placements. It's just like,
all the hoops.
Which brings me to my like other point outside of Meta. So you can actually do this by like messaging and making a ticket. What I've heard of people doing in the past is they make a ticket a week. Mm-hmm. Last time I did it, it took like 3 or 4 weeks, like I made 4 different tickets. And then finally they were like, you know, this guy's too annoying. Let's just silence him.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep the faith. Like when you actually do this, like when you actually get that unlocked on Android, they're still super strong. And ad ARP DAOs increase by anywhere between 15 to 35% if you add Meta to a stack where there's no Meta on Android. So it's a really good tip. It's just you need to deal with their bureaucracy, which is you need to help them make money, you know? This brings me to my second point, which is exactly what Remo is talking about, that functionality hitting behind ad networks. So Liftoff lately, I've seen grow quite immensely in terms of share revenue if you move them from the bidder to placements. And the thing is, you can't make placements anymore inside of their dashboard. You actually have to reach out to an account manager and they make it for you and send it to you. This is particularly true for some reason on level play mediation. It just really like kind of doubled share revenue for me, which shocked me a lot. And definitely something worth trying out. The increase is not as big on max mediation, but on level play, it works really well. So definitely try that out if you haven't and if you're working with Liftoff. Another thing, which is back to Maciej's point, since he's, I guess, are you the second best or third best admon manager? I don't know.
Probably the worst. So
the worst. Okay. Yeah, anyway, okay. You know, broken clock is right twice a day, Maciej. But anyway, as we've talked many times on this podcast, Amazon is amazing for banners. And they're starting to grow now on interstitials and rewarded video, but they're still really strong on banners. So now when people are implementing their CMPs, that means Amazon actually is allowed to bid on European inventory because before they just refused to do so. So make sure that you reach out to you Amazon and make sure that you're sending them the like CMP strings. So essentially they can bid on your inventory. That will mean that they probably will be your biggest banner partner globally or second biggest right behind Google. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of TAM partners, I was doing a deep dive on all my clients and the different TAM partners. For those who have not kept up, TAM is essentially where you can reach out to DSPs that are working with Amazon. And if you strike a direct IO deal, they no longer are charged the 18% kind of tax for using the Amazon piping to show ads in your game or app. And basically, you have to do a direct IO deal and then the drops to a couple of cents instead of percentage. So looking at TAM, the best kind of partner I see on TAM for banners is MobileFuse. So I've been looking at different ones, and normally what happens is like Amazon typically makes up maybe direct demand like 25 to 40%, and then it's usually a bunch of other TAM networks that makes up the rest. But The one that sticks out is Mobile Fuse on banners, and it seems to just be taking up nearly 25 to 30% on a lot of my clients, mm-hmm. which is quite nice to see. Yeah. So Mobile Fuse is definitely on the top list for TAM. So really takes quite a lot of share of revenue. So make sure you're working with them. I'm not getting paid to say that, by the way. That's just what I see. yeah.
Nice.
We've been there.
Yeah, I know. Also, since this is a low eCPM time, this means that each and every impression that you get is less valuable than a month ago, right? So this is also a really good time to experiment with bid floors on interstitials, particularly if you have a game that's monetizing a lot with IAPs where you have minority ad revenue. That means that it might be ideal to give up a couple of those interstitial placements that you're getting on a low eCPM and actually in favor of, yeah, keeping people in your game and keeping retention higher. So basically, bid floors is when you experiment saying, like, I will not accept an interstitial impression unless I get at least X dollars. I would typically recommend starting at 5 and A/B testing and seeing if it actually increases or decreases your overall revenue. So you have to take into account IAP revenue.
But shouldn't this be segmented or something? Like, wouldn't this pretty much ban interstitials in your game in like low paying countries then?
Yeah, but you can do like it by country. You do it by country.
Ah, okay,
right?
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, you didn't say that, you know. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you do only by country, but like I was thinking from a US perspective, but
okay.
Of course, like, yeah, you do it by country and you look at where your average is, but just taking a look at that. But also typically you wouldn't see a lot of IAPs from lower tiered countries, right? So you do it in the countries where you're actually earning a lot of IAPs because that's when you can actually increase it. This last little tip I have, I've been talking to a few developers and noticing this more and more. There's not a lot of developers that are doing events and also incorporating ad placements in those events. And I can't stress enough how good this is for overall like ad revenues during events. And I want to call on the second best admon manager in our podcast. Or I want to call on Remo because I just want to ask you for some tips. Maybe you can share with the audience of your experience because I know that you have done this from a game design perspective. Can you maybe share the top three things that changed your life when you designed event-driven ad placements in 2023?
Yeah. It was in 2021, I guess.
Yeah, probably. So it's live ops mainly. And what we want to do is we want to increase ad placements during some live ops. It produces
we want to
these
put
kind
your
of...
mic into your mouth. And not
yeah, I
want to
hear what you're saying. Yeah. It's important.
Yeah, come on. That's what we want to do.
So the important thing is that usually live ops things tends to run temporarily, which means the temporary thing doesn't really have that big of an impact on your economy or is already accounted for. So having... it gives you a lot of opportunities to have literally free ad placements because, for instance, in a normal game, you usually, like normal economy, you usually allocate the budget for ad placement. So let's say you give the player your daily resource budget and let's say 20% of that goes through ad placements. Let's say whatever you click your daily quests, you click your whatever reward, something, it gives you, I don't know, 800 gold soft currency. And 200 gold is locked behind watching rewarded videos. As an example, with live ops driven by ad placements, you can do, for instance, whatever. You can do some kind of arena event, boss event, whatever, some kind of thing where you give player whatever tickets, for instance. Every 5 hours, a ticket refreshes, you can get there. And if you run out of tickets, you can give one for ad placement or you can, you know, revive the player for it or whatever. But the main point is you don't really give them more economic value. You just speed up their event progression where they would go there anyway. So the whole thing is that they just finish the event sooner with the end placements. So you're not giving any more kind of economy. That's just one example where these really shine. I've seen 20% increase on impressions done by these on overall impressions, through live op events that had ad placements. But it needs also kind of a clever design there. It's not that like let's slap it all over the place.
Okay.
So 20%. 20%. Cool. Those were my little tips to turn that front upside down with Jakub's help. But I can't stress enough, like, yeah, get those ad placements in on live ops. It's a big game changer.
Yeah, you're missing out definitely if you're not doing it and if you have already had placements in the main game.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we go to the radar then?
Oh, yes.
We shall.
Last time we did it was a pretty long time ago, actually, when I was it. It was actually episode 80.
80? Shush.
Yeah, which was somewhere between September and October. I don't remember
somewhere
which
between
one.
79 and 81.
Something like that. So, to get records straight, the last game that we checked on the radar was actually Monopoly Go.
Oi. Too bad we are not covering that anymore. Oi. That would be amazing timing now. Oh my god.
So we're covering a lot of games actually today, but some were kind of special episodes, and yeah, we increasing the cadence here with like all these games to keep up with. But yeah, let's see.
Before you start, maybe could I just ask Maciej, did you hear any rumors if Monopoly Go is profitable after your attack piece last week?
It wasn't attack piece. I had a call today, and
attack LinkedIn post.
It wasn't the attack, it was just questions.
Like direct question. The facts, like the
yeah, a direct question.
Facts.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm just stirring the pot. I thought it was a good episode.
Until today, nobody said anything except, they're profitable, you have no idea what you're talking about. Like, thank you very much for that argument. It means absolute shit to me because they're like zero data in that.
They're
in
doing
that
the
sentence.
Equivalent of petting you on the head.
Yeah, it's like... it's like nothing. So thank you. Until I hear any numbers, assumptions, rumors, I have no idea, whatever, then this is just it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's start then with the radar. As usual, I'm gonna try to skim over it as fast as possible, even though it will take some time, show gameplay and the graphs now.
Yes.
So first on the list is our special Homa Games episode in August 2023, number 6.
I think this is the only company who didn't listen to the podcast that much because there is no growth.
We'll
guys,
see.
Episode
76, and we have Fight for America, which is the tower defense game from Haitika that we have been reviewing. It was kind of quite interesting. And yeah, looking at the charts here, you can see the downloads. We reviewed it in August. So the downloads...
Oh, these are downloads, okay.
Yeah, these are downloads. The downloads kind of stabilized and they're kind of still pretty nice. Something like, 40, 50K a day downloads. Yeah, this is the game, as you remember, where you pretty much, you go through America, through each state, and there's
a subscription. You
get subscription or you get... You get the interstitial.
Yeah, anyway.
What was the game? Come back. I want to see what's...
The game?
Yes. What is this?
Another tower defense game.
It looks exactly like what you're just playing.
Army defense.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's that. And I don't know where's the X.
Just click insert, click somewhere just so we see where like
good old up loving N cards.
Yes, oh man, yes. Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, you can see this is the gameplay. If I let's say stand here, the tower's gonna be built and like it's still we were talking about it that it's kinda hybrid-y. Like we were looking at hybrid.
It was a hyper casual, mate.
Yeah, but it's kinda more hyper casual. Because the economy wasn't kind of that strong, and we can see it also in the chart here. In the meantime, as I'm kind of killing these things, looking at the revenue.
So I was right.
Yeah, it's making something like 5K IP revenue a day, and it's pretty stable, like on the other hand, which is very good. But I haven't seen any kind of giant updates within the game, maybe because I like didn't really play it before.
Big kudos to Sensor Tower. Thanks for the access to
the
data.
Chart you're seeing.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so this didn't seems really move anywhere, which is also pretty positive because as you will see, a lot of games that we're talking about actually declined pretty heavily.
Yeah,
so,
but if you decline from 15 million to 5 million, we're still more than what you're seeing here.
Yeah,
Yeah. So, you know.
I think I calculated, like, yeah, ad revenues here were like 75% if memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, something like that. So, last thing I'm going to always tell is the December revenue, monthly revenue and downloads. So, for Fight for America, it's something like 1.5 million downloads and something in 150K IP revenue only. Mm. So, that's there. But, like, yeah, pretty good job at keeping it kind of on the same level. Like, I would say that's okay. Mm. Next one on the list is Attack Hole, again from Homa Games that we covered, which seems that it declined steadily, where we again covered it some in August. It was doing like something like 2K IP a day. Now it's doing something like
97% 1K. On ads.
Yeah. Like, as I said, but even the downloads kind of, yeah, went a little bit down, something like half of it. But yeah, again, seems kind of stable, but yeah, not that growing anymore. Let's say, where was the, sorry, this one. Yeah, if you remember, you were eating these bullets and growing and growing and growing and having different avatars and their skins and stuff like that. But yeah, with both games, like, the economy definitely wasn't like robust enough to be called hybrid. So I guess that's there. We'll see what comes out from Homa's portfolio later, because I know there's definitely initiatives to like move to hybrid, but haven't seen anything materialize yet. So let's see. Moving forward, we have our favorite Empire Takeover,
Hi.
Which is the outlier in the list, because we look at it in September 2023 in episode 77. And actually for December, it made 500,000 in IAP on 20K downloads.
Whoa. And ad revenue here was a whole whopping 1%.
Yeah. So it's actually, I played the game a little bit. It actually resetted my progress, like throw me into like a new world. Yeah. They have that Christmas event and there's still like the usual kind of shit on stuff that's happening within the game. I think they even like somehow changed their funnel a little bit, because I remember I saw some kind of a chained angel that you need to kind of,
oh yes,
free or whatever. Like, here's our favorite tower defense gameplay that we have there. And yeah, for those not knowing about this, it's a 4X game, so don't be, you know, misled.
That's a very, yeah, it's a very correct.
Yeah, as we say, because I don't think so. I have the map in this exact playthrough yet.
No,
I don't, because or do I? Oh, do I?
Here you have.
There we go. Already ran out of my P shield, so I'm gonna get
killed
probably very soon.
Yeah, we're getting back to the point like where you suck
in
games.
But this is just like the usual kind of testament to like how 4X games are durable if they kind of run at some point. And, you know, these people here are so invested, they will keep just fighting over. So it's there. But if I understand correctly, guys from Empire Takeover are making a new game.
Yes.
They mentioned that.
So, they mentioned that in the LinkedIn comments below my post about the
check
Empire
their
Takeover.
Episode. So yeah, hopefully we'll meet them this year.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely happening.
Yeah, sending regards, and like, would be glad if we can meet somewhere there, China Joy. Okay.
Even before, I hope so.
Yeah. So, Empire Takeover episode 77. Now we're moving to number 4, which is nothing else than My Perfect Hotel from Say Games that we covered in September 2020. You could see, this was episode 78.
Yeah.
You could see the explosive growth there, where it was making something like 500,000 downloads a day.
Yeah, okay.
And then in December, they broke the decline with something like, again, 600-700K downloads a day.
Yeah, this is the Q5 kind of, that's
that's
didn't
happen.
That's
the Q5 end of year spike. And this isn't only seen on downloads, it's both seen on revenue, where the game declined to something like 20K at the middle of December. Yeah. And then at the end of the year, like, climbed to something like 40K. A day.
And 70% of the game's revenue was ad revenue.
Yeah.
It was 70%.
Regarding December downloads, it was 11 million and the revenue something like 1 million in IP revenue. I checked the game and like one of our friends mentioned to us, like, they're still heavily updating the game.
For instance, they added this nice skill tree.
Where they got that from?
Yeah, where they got that from. Of course, looks like hobby. And they changed a little bit the currencies and like the progression. Guys are really trying hard, and you can see that the game's getting better and better still, even afterwards. Where do I have it? Somewhere here.
Yeah, oh, here this is it quite is. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So this, again, is just the usual kind of scene here that, like, this is the difference between like some of those like games trying to get hybrid or not hybrid at all or hyper casual ones and the hybrids which are kind of still running strong. Yeah. So you could see that for those who don't remember, this is how the game looks. You're managing your hotel empire. There's a lot of stuff happening at rewards all over the place. There's this kind of a big map that I think they again added one more kind of hotel on top there. And then the important things were that they give you hard currency in the daily quests. I think this is like one of the main changes together with the tree that I'm currently showing on the screen. So yeah, it's still kind of going strong. Don't just like write it off yet. That's very nice. Okay, continuing further, we have Mr. Autofire that we did episode 78 with Mika in September. Sorry, 79.
79.
And regarding Mr. Autofire, it did something like 350k IP revenue in December and 50k downloads. You could see here regarding the chart that it seems that the UA or let's say the downloads for the game are kind of turned off. Because
I think we already talked about that.
Yeah, Mika, you mentioned it on the podcast.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Yeah. Revenue wise, it's kind of
stable. Quite stable, yeah.
Yeah, something like 10k or 50k. Yeah, 10k a day with those like usual spikes, I guess those are weekends.
Yeah, wait. Like it was on top of this quite a lot of ad revenue.
Yeah, of course. That's like to be expected.
Yeah.
So that's pretty stable. The interesting part is that what I saw, I think here I have it, that there's actually a shit ton of new games on the account that I've seen.
Yes.
Because last time we talked with Mika, that was just Battle Badgers and Sword Game. Now there's games such as Super Run Royale, Downhill, Cat Panic, Cosmic Miner, Zombie Survivor 3D. Yeah, so
I think the Super Run Royale is the one that is having quite interesting numbers from the discussion I had with Mika.
Hmm.
But yeah, he said there's pretty promising results, one of the new concepts. And I mean, I don't know the name, but the Super Run Royale kind of describes exactly what I'm seeing in the creative side. It's like that's the one.
So seems like guys are not really bored there and like, you know, working their ass off with so much kind of a...
Yeah, welcome to the game development.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it should be. So fingers crossed with all these soft launch games and we'll see what happens afterwards. Next one on the list, Alien Invasion.
Oh, yes.
One of our favorite, October 2023, episode 81.
And this game is a fucking beast.
Yeah, still going very strong. December revenue, 2.1 million IAP only and 2.5 million downloads.
You could nice. See
here, still revenue, if we go to more granular view, you can see it's kind of pretty stabilized. So that's very good. And download-wise, again, still very stabilized.
Yeah.
So this game is still like killing it, going very strong for a hybrid casual game. I think we can assume that it's like 50-50.
Yeah, it was 50-50.
Yeah. So that's there. I think I don't have it. Or do I? Yeah. No, I don't, unfortunately. I don't know if I have it somewhere here. But yeah, for those who don't remember, it was the game where your main point of kind of gameplay was attacking scientists and other kind of living creatures with an alien and eating them and having more and more meat and upgrading yourself.
Alien Invasion says a lot.
Yes,
it's exactly what the game's all about.
The interesting thing, and remember that always, they had the game with a different team, with a fish team, and that didn't work out, and they switched it to that, improved, executed, and then took off. So yeah, very, very interesting story. If you want to watch it, get back to episode 81. Continuing further, we have Top Troops.
Yes.
Top Troops.
And there's interesting moves there.
I've been following that quite closely.
Yeah, as the game was soft launched from April 2020, I'm going to just zoom here for the last, let's say, a half a year.
Yeah, 6 months.
So this is the, like, October was
the downloads.
Global launch, and these are downloads. And the game can scale pretty nicely in Christmas period. End of the year, like 35k yep. a day. Now it still can stabilize at like 20k a day downloads. But regarding revenue, we can see a small but steady increase that's been going on.
It's growing. I mean, it's
what's
not
the
like
active user base?
Hockey stick, but it's growing.
What?
Can you show the active user base?
There, yes. No, you just go to the report and
the top. Then there's a download at the top. You can change that to active user base now.
Yes.
It's growing as well.
So what is that now?
170k.
Let me just do quick math here.
Yeah, you can do decimals in the meantime. But regarding revenue, it's scaled to.
Where's it coming from?
Rude. What did I do, Revo?
Fuck yeah.
The worst, like, you have your time. There's 50k IP.
I'm shocked. Like, who are you? Who the fuck are you?
50k IP revenue a day, which scaled nicely from something like whatever 40k after the launch. But yeah, I think a lot of people were writing this game off currently, and it still seems to be kind of holding strong.
Yeah, then, you know, the main problem is like, oh well, this is small for Zynga.
Yeah, it's small for Zynga because it's under Take-Two, which bought Zynga, which owns Social Point, which has the game on portfolio. Yeah, this is the game, for those who don't remember. It's the merge game that has the kind of the Battle Legion automated gameplay, and they added the merge meta on top of it, like the main kind of, let's say, the thing that we think is not really fitting for the thing is that the merch mechanic loses value later down the line, and it becomes very, very annoying. And you can see here, like, just like the unit progression that you need to keep up with, it just like exponentially increases the amount of units you need to hold together because of the merch kind of, you know, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, and actually you want to have 5 because then you have the bonus again, so even more units and so on and so forth. So yeah, but it's still holding steadily. So my guess is that like the retention still is good. We've seen the increasing user base there.
They've also added a bunch of new ad placements.
Yeah, like looking here, like they definitely added like more units and more, some challenges. So like, yeah, the game is going as it should. It's just that it's not just crazy high for Zynga. That's the main thing.
Can you open up Nordeus top 11? Just put it in the ad apps.
Yeah,
if you can.
Finishing this one. The revenue was 1.3 million in December IP and 700k downloads.
Okay, because just go to just add the top 11 because in there exactly.
This one.
Yes, I'm just gonna like can you compare the revenues? No, because if that's
like,
okay.
Yeah, so
3 times more.
It's
okay.
Like 3 times more, like 160k a day.
Okay, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Like, probably it's still profitable. It's making money. It seems, but yeah.
Well, that's questionable. Yeah,
that's questionable. But
it's questionable.
Yeah. But what's not questionable? It's not moving the needle for Zynga.
That's true.
But yeah, anyway, like, fingers crossed, guys. Maybe this can, you know, steadily scale. No worries there. Moving forward, and this is something that's kind of personal. Before we go into this, which I didn't say yet, there was an episode about MoCo.
Yes. So
episode that wasn't numbered, actually.
Oh,
because
really?
It was a special.
Yeah,
with Supercell games, you never know when they get killed and when can you even play them. So we need to review them as fast as possible because how it works. So Supercell released a closed beta for MoCo that we got access to. If I remember, only Matej got access.
Yes.
So I had
me.
To review the game based on Matej's videos or whatever.
You know, it's a part of the podcasting job.
Yeah, that's that. MoCo is an action RPG similar to games like, I don't know, Diablo or stuff like that. It was like a first game in this category for Supercell. I think the closed beta.
And the main takeaway is it's not killed yet.
Yeah, it's not killed yet, or at least we didn't heard about it because we understood.
It's great.
It's nowhere to be seen or played on the stores. It was a closed beta. It's not
It was closed beta.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very nice. They had that nice play on the gear that you don't really, you know. It's pretty much like a streamlined version of action RPG that we talk about. Like some really nice mechanics, amazing art, amazing kind of gameplay, very social heavy. Kind of
Matty got the techno gloves.
Yeah, yes. Matty got the techno gloves. So yeah, this was October 2023, and yeah. We just can't wait what will happen with all the Supercell games. We're going to definitely kind of keep a close eye on it. This was really good. Yeah, and now, after this one, let's get back to the other thing, which is, where it is, Warcraft Rumble, November 2023, episode 84. December revenue 7.5 million, no ads in the game, so that's definitive, and 1.2 million. Regarding the chart, as you see here, it's kind of...
Dying. Dying slow death.
It's kind of slow death because it's doing
something like... Do you think it's because it's the most complicated gameplay never explained to anyone?
That's for you. it's let's say, more advanced gameplay of Clash Royale. But for Warcraft nerds...
Well,
and like,
it's hard as fuck.
It's really hard.
Even you said, you said it's hard.
It's like, really hard. It's really hard. Yeah, I take that. Actually, I've been playing it all the fucking time.
Of course.
From the launch. Regarding revenue, that's even more obvious that it's dying. Yeah. It went through something like, whatever, 1 million IP a day to something like 100K last week, which is like oscillating between 100 and 100, whatever.
I bet they wish they had some ad revenue now.
Yeah, they won't do any ad revenue, man. Anyway...
basically, no UA, man. There's no UA.
Yeah, there's no UA. But my biggest gripe with the game is that there's literally like no meaningful updates in the meantime, and the game was launched in November. So you have November, December, January. That's your, you know, sweet spot where you always like in 3 months you should have some kind of major update. It's nowhere to be seen. I'm sorry, there's nothing there. There has been like the new unit. There was like the Sylvanas one that they launched with, and there's this kind of a Chimera one, which guys at my guild are still kind of active there. And yeah, that's it. Like, there had been some balance changes. They changed these kind of surges that they don't make them every 3 days, but every second day or 1 day or whatever, kind of spread them out a little bit, but they didn't give you more gold. It just spread it. And yeah, that's pretty much it. They're definitely bombarding users with like very nice offers. The offer system works pretty well, that I must say. But other than that, yeah, there's nothing. Like, I'm literally playing it every day. There's nothing. And I'm just slowly upgrading all the units, doing like stuff that I should. And yeah, but there's like no new thing to look for. Yeah, like if this continues for a month, I will pretty much have everything. Like, of course, I won't be able to beat Onyxia, like the last level here, but that's that. Like, the dungeons that have been rotating are still the same, all the same.
Yeah,
and
it's super
they promised
repetitive.
There would be like the cooperative raids at BlizzCon, and you know, no word about it, nothing, or maybe I'm just not following the forums.
They're trying
or
to save Diablo 4.
I don't know. Like, but if this continues for another month, the game's just gonna die. That's,
it's already, I mean,
yeah, it's already kind of half dead.
Yeah,
let's see. Anyway, moving forward, then we had a special about Estoti, episode 86.
Estoti,
November 2023. By the way, guys, at Estoti, they have the Idlebreaker game on 2 accounts, which is kind of interesting to then evaluate.
Yes.
But anyway...
I found out why. It's a partner studio. They share knowledge, but it's different companies. But
Okay. Oh, but like it's kind of...
It says Estoti.
It is Estoti. It's just they're in different cities.
Estoti Vilnius and Estoti. Yeah.
But
like, how
we
can
had this
have,
discussion
like,
on the Estoti episode. Exactly the same.
Are they growing?
Whatever.
It's growing.
So this is the main game account, if I understand correctly. Download-wise, like, yeah, they're growing a little bit. It's something like 10K. A day. I don't even like count the revenue or whatever here. Like, it's just like so small. It's like obvious. It's a soft launch game. They spike to something like
5k a day in November.
It's not bad.
End of
November. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, not bad. Like, it, now it's going down steadily to like 3k a day. But yeah, that's it. Like, no big moves there. Where do I have the game here? If you remember, the game was survival themed and kind of more close to their Little Big Planet was the game, or adventure. I always misspell it, sorry. So they're like iterating on their core mechanic from that game, and they actually have three games as we covered that. So they had Idlebreaker, then they have the Mars Survivor, and then they had the West Escape. These games are all in soft launch. I don't know if Idlebreaker is in global launch. Probably, I guess it's, I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Maybe, but like the Mars Survivor is like, there's like the traffic there is kind of very small. The revenue is literally like nothing there on IP side. So these games, these two games are definitely in soft launch still. Nothing kind of changed with them. And the Idlebreaker game, this is it. It's scaled a little bit to like 6k a day IP, and that's it. And it's still having something like 10k downloads. Where it is? Here it is. So my guess is that guys are still iterating heavily with the game, or maybe Idlebreaker is the one that's like used some kind of like for the learnings. But yeah, I don't know. And you know, they can be doing like three other games from the other big publishers, like Forsake Games or whatever. Yeah. So we don't see all the games that they're doing. This is just the games on their account that it seems they're trying to kind of test and like iterate. But yeah, anyway, fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll get the guys from Estoti on our podcast to tell us and call our bullshit and assumptions.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we would really like that. Moving on, there's the Souls game from Habi that we covered in November 2023, episode 87. It's actually pretty big on revenue, 4.3 million IP in December, 800k downloads in December. Looking at the trend, the downloads are pretty stable from the launch. Seems like the usual kind of hobby playbook. And revenue-wise, it's even more stable at around something like whatever, 150k, let's
130,
say
130, 40k, which is easily 200.
Yeah, maybe this point. We'll see. For those who don't remember, the game is pretty much like a more gorgeous version of AFK Arena. Very, very nicely
done.
Is that
even possible?
AFK Arena is, by the way, also releasing their own like second version of it, so this will be an interesting battle. The important change in Habi portfolio is that this game already overtook Archero in IP revenue.
Ooh,
so Souls as the number two on Habi's portfolio, not Archero anymore, after Survivor IO, which
that
is
was quite quick.
But like, you know, keep in mind Archero is what, April 2019 global launch or somewhere there, so that's
still
the wear of time. But yeah, even downloads wise, it's now like two times bigger than Archer or three times. Yeah. So this game seems to be still kind of not that like that big of a kind of moneymaker as I would say Habi would expect, but still like
yet.
Good scale. Because last time when we were looking at it, the meta game was very, very shallow compared to AFK Arena, which all the kind of systems they already built during the time. Like the main set of features they have, like very, very good and drilled down to the last. But yeah, they just kind of needed more system. My guess is they updated a shit ton of system in the meantime that I didn't saw. But yeah, we haven't seen big moves on the revenue yet, which you'll probably see. Okay, and the last game on the list, December 2023, episode 88, nothing else than Zenless Zone Zero.
Amazing. That's the game that nobody cares about.
That nobody cares about, that could be the biggest game.
Except
the thing
you.
Is, like, man, like I said so many times, man, like the cultural relevance of this game is like it's so small. It's the same user base, right? It's just the same users that are like being chucked around in the same style of games, spending exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah. So before you write this off, this is
I'm not writing this off.
HoYoWers, our favorite guys that did Genshin Impact and Honkai Star Rail.
Your favorite guys. I love your favorite.
Don't lump me in there.
Come on.
I like hybrid casual games, mate.
Yeah.
So this is
Yeah, the guys that are making premium free-to-play games that looks like, you know, console-style
what
quality.
What happened to you?
It's completely
cross-platform.
Yeah.
And yeah, the rumor is that this is supposed to release this year. We don't know when. This was second closed beta that we played in December that I got in.
Yeah, they're gonna kill it. I heard these rumors. They're gonna kill it because there's not a big total addressable market for this game.
Yeah, but
the user base complained that there were no ads, so they're gonna take it back and rework it as an idle arcade game.
Yeah, but to be honest, like let's get this the record straight. Even I said that like the big kind of fear is that they are pretty much slowly cannibalizing their own portfolio here because there's just not enough players for three kind of similar
games
for similar target audience.
Sure,
so,
but this is, I mean, it's different than...
It's definitely different because this is action-based.
Yeah.
This is very kind of, you know, input heavy and the gacha and progression system is completely the same as Honkai and Genshin, but like the gameplay is different, definitely.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Like, I'm really curious because now I guess it will be the moment of truth for HoYoWare if they kind of, you know, step out of their shadow or just be somewhere they're stuck with their business model that works for Genshin and then like every second game
will be pretty much returns. Fine with the revenues that Genshin and Honkai is making.
Of course. But you know, the question is like, where can you go from there then?
Yeah.
Like, can you just do these games and that's it? Like, they need to diversify eventually.
You always can do horse girls.
I think they had cat girls in it, if I understood correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Ooh.
Anyway, that was it from the radar.
Thank you, Remo.
Yeah, we'll keep all the games on our kind of a future sites and
future
afterwards. Yeah,
and
we should have even more kind of sharp eyes later after our discussions with our friends from Sensor Tower.
Oh yes.
So yeah, just wait until we can fire these things up.
Even sharper insights after next week Tuesday, because 2.5 Gamers is teaming up with Kowali and Bambassadors for an amazing after party after PGC on Tuesday. We still have some tickets left. So if you want to attend and hang out.
We don't.
Oh, we don't.
Don't even say that anymore. That's why I didn't push it because we just released like first tickets today.
Are they already gone?
Yeah, they're all gone. It's like everything is gone basically from day zero.
Do we need to get someone with a clipboard outside then? Like
most probably, yes. It's overbooked. Like it was like after
but, you know,
30%
of people
podcast,
won't show up, right? So
we are counting with that actually. Mm-hmm. And it's still...
I think everybody will have the same idea then.
Yeah. So don't worry. Yeah, after we mentioned it on the podcast, it's immediately overbooked.
Yeah, when we're listening to this, feel free to reach out or say hi. We all see each other at PGC.
Jakub is not that mean in person.
No, it's just to me because I annoy him.
Oh, me.
No, like the big surprise is that Jakub is bringing his own fake background with him in London.
So if you see a guy with a Christmas tree,
that's definitely Jakub. Okay, but anyway, thank you very much for listening. Please hit the subscribe button because that's really important to us and keeps us going. And it also kind of, you know, notifications are good for you guys as well to remind you that we are having a new episode. So you can jump right in and then watch it on YouTube and listen on Spotify, Apple, or whatever.
And see you in our Slack.
See you in your Slack.
Bye-bye. So,
thank you. Cheers. Yeah.